From 90.5 WESA, it's The Confluence, where the news comes together. Our reporters' roundtable, delving into the top news stories of the week. I'm Kevin Gavin. Later in the program, Cameron McClay is coming up on his second anniversary as Pittsburgh's chief of police. While he tries to improve community relations, how are his relations with the rank and file? The new school year is underway with major changes in Pittsburgh public schools. If you have a question or comment, tweet us at WESA Confluence. That's WESA Confluence. But we begin today's program with the look at the campaign. Bit more than 9 weeks remaining before the November election, Pennsylvania, along with Ohio and Florida, still considered to be a swing state by pundits and pollsters. Since 1960, no presidential candidate has won the White House without winning at least two of those three states. Joining us on The Confluence to discuss what has transpired on the campaign in Pennsylvania and what might still come, Chris Potter from the Post-Gazette. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And Mark Newtbar, WESA's government and politics reporter. Mark, welcome.
Thank you.
One thing we have learned from the various polls that have been coming out is Pennsylvania is in line with nationwide numbers when it comes to the unpopularity of the two major candidates, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump.
Make no mistake about it. This race is almost, in a sense, an election to the bottom.
That's political scientist and pollster Terry Madonna from Franklin and Marshall College. The new poll released Thursday shows Clinton's favorability rating has dropped in the last month. 38% viewer as favorable, 54% of those surveyed viewer as unfavorable. That's a minus 16 rating. In late July, her rating was minus 2. Now, Donald Trump's numbers actually improved, but his favorability rating is still minus 21. So, Chris Potter,
yeah.
When you're talking with voters, when you're out doing your reporting, is this some of what you're hearing? And is that reflective of those numbers?
Yeah, I would say, especially for Ms. Clinton. For Ms. Clinton, the issue is there's a trust deficit, as pundits like to say. And I think a lot of what you've seen there in that change, she went from minus 2 to minus 16, reflects a couple things. One, she got a bump from the convention. It was a good convention for her, very good, in fact. But that always kind of wears off over time. And then there have just been a series of kind of punishing reports involving her email, her use of a private email server, a Secretary of State, and then some questions about her relationships to the Clinton Foundation. So she's been hurt by that. On the side with Donald Trump, the issue is, can he do the job? That's his biggest weakness. And I think that the dynamic that we're seeing in this race right up until just this week, you know, Donald Trump going down to Mexico to sort of prove that he can look presidential and to allay those kinds of concerns. And Hillary Clinton still kind of dogged by these concerns, this kind of steady drip, this kind of almost kind of water torture of stories about her use of emails and how honest she's been about that stuff.
I was going to go with the same idea of that trickle. It just keeps coming a little bit here and a little bit there. And I don't know, how much is it going to build up? But I think these statistics are really what this election is all about. It's just about, I don't really like this person. Will I be able to hold my nose and pull the lever, as they say?
So are we seeing a trend toward a vote against rather than a vote for campaign?
I mean, I think a lot of campaigns end up that way, but all of those dynamics are accelerated, exaggerated in this particular race. And I will say, too, that part of what you're seeing in these recent days, there's a bit of an asymmetry going on here. Both of these candidates are running against each other, but Donald Trump, in a way, has an advantage, which is Hillary Clinton's argument against him is this guy's a lunatic, essentially. You just can't trust him to do anything right. That requires Donald Trump to provide a steady stream of headlines, of gaffes, of things like that. It's sort of in Donald Trump's control how much of an issue he wants to make of himself. With Hillary Clinton, his argument is she can't be trusted, da-da-da-da-da, and the drip of stories she's not in control of. It's about the release of these emails by conservative groups, Judicial Watch, who's been pursuing this stuff. What is the State Department report? We're now going to find out the State Department is going to disclose her whole schedule as Secretary of State just a few weeks before the election. And even if there's not much there, there's always the chance that reports get hyped or they're mistaken in the early going. So there's definitely a chance for an October surprise that she will not be able to control. Donald Trump, in a weird kind of way, is in a bit more control of his destiny if he can get control of himself.
But, you know, I think that the hardcore Republicans and the hardcore Democrats are used to that idea of, well, I'm going to pick this person even though I'm not super happy about it. But how do you appeal to the middle? How do you appeal to those undecided voters that we're still seeing when it's just, well, I'm not as bad as the other person?
Yeah, I mean, that is a real good question. And I don't know that either of these candidates has really kind of figured that out here in Pennsylvania for sure. I think part of the dynamic that we're seeing here in this race is the folks who aren't necessarily committed yet in the Philadelphia area are going to be looking for this. Again, Donald Trump, can he kind of hold it together for long enough? Do I trust the nuclear codes with this guy? And I was just in Ohio yesterday where Joe Biden was speaking in Warren outside of the GM plant there. And that was a big argument he was kind of raising. This guy, you don't want him holding the nuclear codes. Can you imagine what that would be like? And I think that may be how you kind of try to reach those voters.
The Franklin and Marshall survey that I alluded to has Clinton up 7 points right. over Trump in a two-person race. Now, that's down from 11 points just a month ago. The lead is 5 points when you include Libertarian Gary Johnson and 5% support for Johnson and for Jill Stein, the Green nominee, 3%. The Monmouth poll, also released this week, had Clinton with an 8-point lead in a four-candidate field. And the new public policy polling report showed a 5-point lead for Clinton. So it's in that 5 to 7, 8 range. So Trump has been making some progress, at least in Pennsylvania.
The only way we can lose, in my opinion, I really mean this, Pennsylvania, is if cheating goes on. I really believe it.
Mark Knutbaar, is Donald Trump planting a seed about the accuracy or trustworthiness of election results?
You know, I heard that statement when it was made, and it just befuddled me. I just don't understand sometimes what Donald Trump is driving at. So that's a wonderful question that I don't have an answer to. The whole idea, though, that he continues to plant these little seeds, say things that then he either walks back or just pretends he never said, it's all very confusing. But I guess so. We're planting that seed, but does that really matter in the state of Pennsylvania? Are we going to be able to be controversial enough that we'll do a recount or something?
Yeah, Chris, I don't think we can have in Pennsylvania hanging chads like we did in Florida right. 16 years ago.
Right. I mean, that's certainly true. Although what you can have and what some folks, actually more on the left, I think, than on the right, have raised questions about is sort of the validity of the voting machines that we use here in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is unusual in that it's a swing state. It's a key battleground state, but it's also one where the vast majority of counties here, including Allegheny and Philadelphia, where most of the votes are, don't have paper ballots. There's no paper trail for who cast what vote. And there are concerns among some of the folks I've talked to that these machines are not as reliable as one might hope. I will say that with respect to Mr. Trump's statements there, I think a couple of things are going on there. One is that there's a longstanding Republican narrative that votes out of Philadelphia can't be trusted because there's just, you know, the fix is in. You can't trust these big city Philadelphia politicians or whatever. Folks may remember some very dramatically hyped stories about the new Black Panther Party and so on and so forth. You know, I think the worrisome thing here in Pennsylvania more broadly is if this is a close election, do those kinds of questions cast doubt on the outcome? I don't think anybody, you know, in either side wants a reprise of the 2000 election where a president took office and there were serious kind of questions about the validity and the legitimacy of the result that delivered it to him. I think that weakens whoever the president is, and that's a bad thing going forward. So, you know, I think it's important to look at election integrity questions. I think the kind of voter fraud being alleged there, this sort of people sneaking up and pretending to be somebody else, doesn't happen in any meaningful numbers. But we do have to take these threats of election security pretty seriously, and I know they do in Allegheny County and elsewhere.
It's the Confluence on 90.5 WESA, where the news comes together. Our reporters' roundtable. We're talking about the campaign with Chris Potter, reporter for the Post-Gazette, and Mark Knutbaar, WESA reporter. The latest Pennsylvania registration numbers: Democrats not quite 4.1 million. Republicans, not quite 3.2 million, plus another registered but non-affiliated voters, more than 1.1 million voters.
This is going to be an election of unlikely voters. You know, people who have not voted in some time, who have feel they've been left behind and are coming back because of Donald Trump.
That's Republican Congressman Lou Barletta, Trump supporter. So, Chris and Mark, who are the candidates pursuing? Were these people that sat out or people on the edge? Are they the independents? Are there Republicans who didn't like Republicans before, or Democrats who didn't like the Democrats? Who are they going after?
It depends on the candidate. I mean, Donald Trump clearly, and it's, the proof is how much time he spent out here in Western Pennsylvania, is clearly going for folks who may be registered as Democrats, but their voting habits have taken them in a different direction. He's looking for those kind of disaffected white working class folks, of which we have quite a few of here in Western Pennsylvania, and hoping they will go a different route. Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, is looking for folks who they may be African American in the Philadelphia area. There may be Hispanic Latino voters, college students, a lot of those folks, younger voters who haven't necessarily participated, but who she needs to get out there and turn out in November.
But do you think, you know, we started losing manufacturing in the 80s and it, you know, kind of really peaked back then. Are we still saying that southwestern Pennsylvania voters are worried about losing their jobs to other countries? You know?
Yeah, the bomb is a done dropped at this point. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, that's a really excellent question. And I think those of us here in western Pennsylvania, this is hard for us to admit, but more and more of the votes that are out there in the Philadelphia area. And so we're going to get a lot of attention from Trump, but there are more votes out there in the East.
Okay, quickly, because we also want to talk about the Katie McGinty and Pat Toomey race for the U.S. Senate seat. You mentioned Philadelphia. We're talking Pittsburgh. So by region, some new numbers. Clinton, 83-12 percentage points. Philadelphia, Allegheny County, 56-30. But in southwestern Pennsylvania, Clinton had just 39-36 with a lot of undecideds.
Right.
What do those regional numbers tell you quickly, gentlemen?
Exactly what I just said. I think that she, Hillary Clinton's success strategy is rolling out with big numbers in Philadelphia and the surrounding counties and hoping that's enough and that she can kind of eat away at some of Mr. Trump's advantage outside here in western Pennsylvania. But she's going to come out strong out of the southeast, and we'll see if that's enough to carry her elsewhere.
And I think Donald Trump needs to be looking at those collar counties around Allegheny County and trying to get as many votes as possible there. And where his campaign headquarters is out in Monroeville, I think addresses that directly.
So for our last few minutes, I do want to talk about the other big contest statewide in Pennsylvania. That's for the U.S. Senate seat held by Republican incumbent Pat Toomey versus Democrat Katie McGinty. Three polls released this week. McGinty has leads of 4 points, 5 points, and 6 points, but they're all near the margin of error. GOP nationwide holds a 54-45 edge with one independent in the Senate. 34 Senate seats up for election in November, 24 held by Republicans. Chris, it seems like the RNC is really focusing a lot of attention on Pennsylvania and this seat.
Yeah, a lot of money coming out of there. And this is because some of the other Democratic hopefuls, like in adjoining Ohio, where Ted Strickland, they thought, Strickland could maybe, a former governor out there, could maybe pick up a seat here. Maybe not. It doesn't look as likely as it's going to happen. McGinty actually is doing fairly well. You got to remember, coming out of the primary, Pat Toomey was leading in most of those polls. So she's actually pulled off quite a reversal here on the strength largely of female voters. And, you know, there's some softness of support for Pat Toomey. He is not necessarily, he's kind of neither fish nor fowl for a lot of people, I think. And this is a tough, this is an election about kind of choosing which team you're on. And he has tried to finesse that. And I don't know that it's quite paid off for him.
Yeah, I don't think Pat Toomey was ever a strong candidate. You think about when he was swept into office along with all of the other Republicans back in 2010, right? I think that he necessarily would not have gotten elected that year if it weren't for that anti-democratic stance that so many of us took. But also, the thing that's interesting is every time you go to a McGinty rally or read anything from her campaign, I think she's running against Donald Trump.
Speaking of which, McGinty was in town this week.
Manufacturing has played a central role in the building of the middle class and the building of this country. If we stand right, if we invest right, if we insist on a level playing field, manufacturing isn't part of history. It's part of our future going forward.
Katie McGinty in a campaign visit here in Pittsburgh. So she's talking manufacturing. What has been the message of Toomey, and is he getting out here much to southwestern Pennsylvania?
You don't see as much of him as you might, I think. It's an interesting thing. I've been a little surprised at. I mean, he is running, in a lot of ways, he's running against Donald Trump, partly because of, as Mark just said, Ms. McGinty is trying to tie him to Mr. Trump. But I think also, if you look at what Toomey tried to do, you know, he got behind this kind of gun control message. He's been a supporter of that, which is not necessarily necessarily an intuitive thing for Republicans to do. That was kind of a thing to make him more appealing to suburban voters in Philadelphia. It's the same dynamic in the Senate races in the presidency. And then he was kind of he came out against the Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership. That was kind of a thing that would help him in the West. But Donald Trump has just sort of scrambled what I think was probably Mr. Toomey's attempt to kind of have a foot in both of those worlds. And he has just kind of blown it up. And it's interesting. I mean, Ms. McGinty is blasting him as the Trump-Toomey ticket. And yet that quote sounded a lot like something Donald Trump might say, right, about manufacturing and denouncing trade deals. So it's an interesting way in which Donald Trump's presence in this race has scrambled up these down ballot races, and this may be the best example you could find in the country.
And as I spoke to Senator Toomey's press secretary just the other day, I said point blank, when is he going to be back here? And he kind of stumbled and bumbled, and I think we have something coming up pretty soon. So I think they do need to get out here to southwestern Pennsylvania, but maybe they just don't know what the right venue is or what the right message is.
Yeah, I mean, I think the right message is going to be security issues and policing and sanctuary cities, even though Pittsburgh isn't one. He's going to go heavy on the sort of public security and terrorism, and the Iran deal is a terrible thing.
Chris Potter is a reporter for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Mark Neutbar, WESA's politics and government reporter. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you. Great to
thank
be here.
Thank you.
Pittsburgh Police Chief Cameron McClay is holding a series of community meetings to help improve relations between police and citizens, particularly minorities. We'll discuss the state of policing in Pittsburgh when we continue with the Confluence on 90.5 WESA.